The next case is 95-1175, Board of Township Trustees versus State of Ohio Department of Taxation. Mr. Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. May it please the court. This is an absolutely critical decision for the state. The decision below does three things that cause grave concern to the state of Ohio. First of all, the Court of Appeals invalidated an exercise of the General Assembly's spending power. Ordinarily, an area of legislative authority where the state has its broadest area of discretion. Second of all, it invalidated a classification scheme that has many parallels throughout the revised code. And third, the vehicle for the Court of Appeals decision was the uniformity clause, which until now has always been given, at most, rational basis review.
What is the rational basis for the kind of you call it a scheme, that's your word. So let's call it a scheme.
Right.
What is the rational basis?
Well, there are two different parts of the scheme. One is the allocations to the three different subdivisions, so dividing along subdivision lines, what we've called among the subdivisions. And the second part of the scheme is the allocation within each type of subdivision. Now, dealing with the first one, it's perfectly rational in our view to use the classifications of township, county, and municipality as a basis for allocating state revenue for road repair.
Okay, I'll give you that. That's good.
The second type of scheme is the allocation within each of these subdivisions. All that the revised code does in .27 is set up a foundation amount allocation for townships and counties. Appley's principal argument is that that's irrational. That doesn't make sense because the different townships in the state and the different counties in the state have different populations, different amounts of road miles, and presumably are in different parts of the state geographically and therefore have different winter conditions. The response to that...
Different bridge requirements.
Well, bridge requirements as well, absolutely. Of course, the bridge requirement issue just applies to counties. Townships have no responsibilities with respect to bridge repair. The key flaw in the Court of Appeals decision is that it telescoped its analysis just on .27, looking at this pro rata or foundation amount allocation without keeping in mind the broader perspective that that's part of the broader whole of the allocation of revenue from the state to the municipalities, townships, and counties for road and bridge repair. When you step back and look at other statutes that allocate money for these purposes, when you step back and you look at other ways in which these subdivisions can raise money for these purposes, the statute makes eminent sense. Another rational basis for allocating on a foundation pro rata amount to counties and townships, counties and townships have always been defined, at least initially, by geography. That's not true of municipalities. Municipalities have always been defined, at least initially, by population.
So your defensive rational basis is that there are other options, local options. So if you have greater need because you have far more highways or kinds of measuring sticks that might be related to the cost of maintaining them, you can go get the local residents to contribute.
That's one justification, and of course that justification is most...
Isn't that irrational rather than rational? I mean, that causes an uneven nature of the burden potentially tremendously.
Well, I think there are several decisions of this court saying that it's rational to allow localities to decide how much money to raise for local needs. So I think that is a rational purpose. But I think there's an even better rationale, and that's that there's another statute that actually makes need-based allocations to counties and townships. 4501.04 does just what appellees say the state should have done throughout. It takes the motor vehicle registration fees and allocates them in some respects based on number of road miles, and then in a separate subsection does it based on numbers of registered vehicles. So if you step back, in other words, you've got lots of different types of allocation.
Well, at the end of the day, when you put all of the scheme, not just this particular statute, but when you put it all together, is it fair? I mean, is the distribution fair based on the burden of the actual responsibility in terms of miles, road miles to be maintained, or any kind of measuring stick that might be applied to the actual cost of maintaining the highway system for the state, which would include all the way down to the township?
Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you, Justice Piper. I don't think there is a system that will be perfectly fair. I think it is absolutely impossible to account for all of the variables that exist with respect to road repair.
But
having said that,
has it been tried? I think if I read correctly, one of the foundations of your argument on rational basis was it's historically been like this, on challenge for decades. That's really not rational basis. That's a historical basis.
I couldn't agree more with you. I mean, there's no case law that says, after 50 years, if the statute hasn't been challenged, it becomes valid no matter what the nature of the challenge. I do think there's a principle of common sense that does support us here, and that's the scheme that is eminently political in nature. I mean, it's full of typical give-and-take legislative debate. It's not gone unchallenged for 70 years. It may well be that the constituents aren't that unhappy with it. But I agree with you. The time period doesn't immunize it from further challenge.
You make light of the comparison of Ellsworth Township and Boardman. Ellsworth Township has less than a mile of roads, and Boardman has 133 miles. And you just said that you don't think it would be a fair way of dividing this money up. Couldn't it be based upon the amount of miles in each township?
Well, that's it. First of all, the amount of miles you can't use by itself, because the amount of miles doesn't necessarily dictate how often the roads are used.
But isn't it a better gauge than just simply dividing them equally among townships?
Well, what's beautiful, I think, about the Quincy 7 is it sets up a foundation amount. It says no matter how rural, how small you are, how few people live in your neck of the woods, you have at a minimum, with respect to 1992, 40,000. To account for road repair. Now, it may well be that for Ellsworth Township in that year, 40,000 was more than enough to repair that 1 mile of road. But it's worth keeping in mind that there are 1,320 townships, all of varying road mileage amounts. In fact, if you look at their exhibits in which they rely so heavily, you'll find that that's far and away the exception, that most of them are grouped fairly close together in terms of road miles, which takes you back to the reason for the pro rata approach in the first place.
If you had a system that was only based on road miles, then if this county, Ellsworth, wanted to build more roads, it would never have the ability to do so.
Absolutely. They'd be frozen in time. It's absolutely correct, Justice Stratton.
This appears to be in view of the other statutes that distribute funds on the basis of number of registered motor vehicles, even friendly highway patrol arrests, and population, number of miles of roads. This seems to be sort of a catch-all. You say sort of we're going to give you this much as a minimum to do what you want with, I guess, build a new road or have a very nice four-lane township
right,
road,
right to
one,
that
one road maybe. Yeah. But is that the way you view this? Is that the essence of your argument, is that the other distributions are based upon all these other factors, and the General Assembly says, well, we're also going to give you some that's just based upon the fact you're a township?
Exactly. And counties. Counties get the same approach. It's a foundation amount. The idea is where there's lots of different distribution formulas we can use, or lots of different variables. One thing we want to make sure is that each of these subdivisions has a base or foundation amount, either to build new roads, as Justice Stratton suggests, or to repair old ones, or to repair bridges. And one great guarantee that there's an adequate minimum is that you give a certain minimum floor amount to everyone. I think it's worth pointing out, and I hesitate to do this, and I was warned not to do it, that this statute has a striking parallel to another
school board case.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm sitting here thinking. If you want us to rule on your foundation question, which is not the issue in this case, and I don't know why you're arguing it, but you must have your reasons, and I'm suspicious, frankly, because that's the foundation thing we're going to hear down the road. My only question to you, Mr. Sutton, is while the distribution appears to be disproportionate, is it not uniform? And isn't that all the Constitution requires?
I'd love to have a chance to go back to the first point, but
let me answer this.
I want to answer the second one first. I couldn't agree with you more that if there's one thing the Uniformity Clause stands for, it's that an absolutely, in fact, their argument is that it's too uniform, but an absolutely uniform allocation at a minimum meets the Uniformity Clause. Now, there may be other constitutional provisions that make you unhappy or that don't comply.
But that's the issue in this case. Does it meet the constitutional provision of uniformity? And maybe it is unequal in distribution, but uniform it is.
Absolutely.
Now, I guess to go back to the other thing, if we rule that way in this case, are we going to see this case cited to us, the school board case? Because that's a whole different issue.
Well, I'm obviously not going to make any commitments about whether I'm going to use this case.
Yeah.
But maybe that
helps me.
But Justice Douglas, when I wanted to raise the education case, school funding case, I wanted to point out something that I think should give you pause about worrying about the implications of this case in school funding. The parties in school funding cannot agree whether the sky is blue. They disagree about everything under the sun. But there is one thing they have not disagreed about, and that's that the state of Ohio can use a foundation amount followed by equity or need-based allocations. Everyone agrees with that. That has never been challenged in the course of that litigation. Neither the state nor the plaintiffs has said there's a problem with saying we're going to give every school district in the state a foundation amount, and then we're going to decide to exercise our discretion and get need-based allocations elsewhere.
But your foundation argument in this case has not really been strongly argued by you or any of the amicus. The issue is it a uniform application pursuant to the Constitution? Isn't that our issue? Because if you're going to argue the foundation, then the foundation is okay for everybody, then you can set it at 3,000, can't you?
Well, let me, that's a critical point. Our first argument is the very point you made. Our first argument is that it's a uniformity clause challenge. These are perfectly uniform allocations. You may have other problems, but they're not uniformity problems.
Well, counsel,
but we had to argue on the alternative.
You waded into this foundation line. Foundation, as it applies to schools, is not a foundation payment that says, okay, you're a school district, so we're going to give $1 million to every school district in the state of Ohio. It's based on a pupil population. I mean, it is based on some rational connection to need. And that seems to me to be the critical issue, which is pretty tough to answer. With respect to townships, if we just say we're going to give X dollars to every township, whether you get roads or lots of roads or a few people or a lot of people, whether you got the hills or lots of rivers to deal with, we're just going to give you X.
Well, the key difference here, of course, is that townships and counties are defined by geography. That's not necessarily true of school districts. So school districts, when they use the foundation amount, they did it just like cities.
Well,
they did per pupil, which is, I think, is fine.
That's not townships are defined by geography, but then within townships, you have townships that are wholly within a municipality,
sure,
and are not. So their appeals are defined by geography.
Well, I go back to our central point and our central argument. And Justice Douglas, I do disagree that with your statement that we've not pressed this point. We've argued the alternative. We've said uniformity is met when you've got uniform allocations. But in the alternative, if you're going to look at whether you have to examine the rationality of each scheme, we have to continue to argue and say they are actually rational in nature.
Have we, in effect, already decided this case in the Putnam Bay case? When we said if it's uniform, if that had been uniform throughout the state and it applied to other places, then that special tax over at the island would have been okay.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think Dayton says the same thing, and I think Zupanchic says the same thing, all over the last 10 years. If it's a uniform allocation, you simply can't have an argument in response that it's not just uniform, it's too uniform. That's what they're saying. This is too uniform. That's not a uniformity clause problem. That may raise other constitutional problems, but uniformity is not one of them. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Sutton. Mr. Messenger.
Good morning. Please support. My name is Jim Messenger, and together with Attorney Mulgrew and Attorney Bryan, we have represented the appellees throughout these proceedings. I believe we have to begin with the heading of Chapter 5735, which says motor vehicle fuel tax. It's a tax on motor vehicles. Chapter 5735.05 says that this tax is to be distributed equitably among those persons using the privilege of driving motor vehicles upon the highways and streets and the cost of maintaining and repairing them. The chapter itself in general and the statute in particular says that the motor vehicle fuel tax is to be assumed by those that use the roads. In the statutory allocation system, the state receives 75% of that money, to which we have no quarrel. But the other 25% of those funds are distributed to the municipalities, counties, and townships on a basis that does not bear a relation to the purpose of the statute. The tax is uniformly collected. It's collected by the dealers. The tax is to be used for the roads. The roads in municipalities aren't any deeper or wider or longer necessarily than roads in counties or roads in townships. The tax is meant to be spent to repair and maintain roads, but the classifications to which the tax is distributed are unreasonable classifications.
But what,
and the
what about
within
the
classifications?
What about the township that doesn't get much money under the other distributions because they don't have a lot of roads, they don't have a lot of cars registered in there, and they don't have highway patrol, doesn't visit their township roads very often? Or their county roads, or higher state roads. What about that township that wants to build a new road, wants to improve a road, and doesn't receive much fund from the other allocations? Isn't this a uniform distribution of a portion of the highway taxes to or use of highways to simply even out some of those considerations?
Well, the way that it's done now, you might argue, Your Honor, that it does allow, let's say, very small townships to at least have a base. But that's not the purpose of the statute. If the small township only has 3 miles of roads, and the large township has 133 miles of roads, they get the same amount of money. Something is wrong in the distribution of those funds that's meant to go for the roads.
But they don't get the same amount of money, do they? The township that has a lot of roads gets more money under a different distribution. Isn't that correct? Or am I wrong?
Judge, the motor vehicle registration fees and the title licenses and things of that nature may be distributed to the townships on a basis of number of vehicles or number of miles, but that pales by comparison to the base amount that we're talking about in this section.
Let me go to figure that one is set by the state of Ohio. 4501 gave Boardman 133 miles, something like 44,000, and it gave Ellsworth under that same statute $317. Certainly that $317 can go very far to build new roads or even repairing that 1 little mile that they have written.
Well, $40,000 would, but the $317, right, that's correct.
And when you put the two together, you come up with even 40, that's much less of a discrepancy in terms of what they have available today than the figure you originally
said. That's true. But the plaintiffs in this case represent urban townships, 8 large townships, which are represented far more than 8, and they have the converse as their problem.
Well, I guess that raises the point of whether the statute is unconstitutional at its face or is applied. We have an argument here that seems to me the Court of Appeals was, I'm not sure exactly what base they used, but it seems to me that they used it as applied, didn't they?
You're right. The complaint actually alleged both the facial unconstitutionality and the as-applied unconstitutionality. And I agree with you, Your Honor, when you read Judge Kane's decision at the common pleas level and the appellate decision, you might be able to come to separate conclusions. I can tell the court that the initial focus of this case, when it was presented, was of the large urban townships, stating that the method by which they get their money, which is a pro rata basis, was unconstitutional, the statute as applied, because the municipalities, by contrast, receive their money based at least on some rational basis, the number of motor vehicles. It may not be a perfect system, and I agree with counsel for the state, there may not be a perfect way to allocate this money. It may be a blended of road miles.
Is it uniformly applied to townships? Well, it's uniformly applied unreasonably.
I mean, it's the classifications themselves are unreasonable. This court, and I did cite it in the brief, but as a matter of fact, Austintown Township and myself argued a case 17 years ago before this court involving Ohio Edison, and when they set their electric utility rates based on political subdivisions. And if you lived in a municipality, you paid about 40% less for your kilowatt hours than you did if you were in an unincorporated area. And we attacked the statute then. Although it's not a part of our brief, I would cite it to the court at 58 Ohio State 2nd 40, where this court, in a 7-0 decision, set aside those classifications of incorporated and unincorporated areas to set electric utility rates and remanded it to the Public Utilities Commission to come up with a basis that was reasonable. And that's what you have here. You have here townships, large townships, that are doled out their money on a pro rata basis, no matter whether they have 50,000 or 5,000 people in them.
Counsel, let me get to there are two prongs to the rational or irrational basis that you set forth. One is the way the money is allocated between municipalities, counties, and townships. Doesn't the General Assembly just have to eyeball this and based on who gets the most friends and votes, make some cut? I mean, isn't it pretty difficult to determine or divine what's fair as to how much township should get as opposed to counties as opposed to municipalities? Isn't that the weaker part of your argument?
It's a legislative function, and there probably isn't a finite answer to it, Your Honor, as to how it should be done. We're certainly not asking this court to make that.
So your stronger claim is that within the category, in your case townships, it's awfully weak to make the distribution on this basis in terms of having any sort of a rational basis.
Exactly. And that was the focus of our case when initially was filed. It had to do with the disparity of the distribution within the classifications. That has been brought to bear by the trial court, who looked at not only Section 27, but 23 of the statute, and talked about the allocation also as being unconstitutional.
So you think that in the other categories, there's actually a fairer way of... For example, in municipalities, the way the money is doled out.
Well, at a minimum, Your Honor, if the townships and the counties receive their funds the same way that the municipalities did, that at least there would be, let's say, some partial relief granted to the appellees in this case. But I really think that...
Although with respect to counties, you have the additional issue of bridges, which could make a vast difference in the cost of the team.
Well, sure, but I think the counties have 10 times as many bridges to maintain as the municipalities do, but yet the municipalities get more money than the counties. When the bridge argument sounds good, but when you put a pencil to it, it doesn't turn out that way. The counties get their money on a pro rata basis, and yet they have, I think it's 10 times the bridges that the cities have to maintain.
Counselor, let me ask you a procedural question, if I might, for
sure.
Practical. It seems to me that we had a preliminary motion during the dependence of this case about distributing these funds under the statute as it exists. Did we not? Wasn't there an issue of whether there was a stay?
The stay was granted by Judge Kane because we asked for injunctive relief.
And didn't we change that?
I believe that we consented to the stay, Your Honor, up through the appellate level, and I don't think that we have ever argued that the stay should be lifted because we thought eventually this case was going to come before this court.
I thought we had that before us on a preliminary motion someplace or other. I remember reading that. My concern is all this money now piling up undistributed at all?
No. It's as part of the academic exercise here, Your Honor, we did not press that the injunction should stay on and that none of the money would be distributed because we felt whether we won or lost at the lower levels, we hoped that this case would come before the court because it has application throughout the state.
Okay, now that's what I remember happening, I think, and I think we actually took some action on it and said, go ahead and distribute the money. Maybe I'll go back and look. The more important part of the question, I guess, is you just said you agree with counsel on the other side that there may not be a fair way to do this.
A perfect way. I think some way that you could say that's how we're going to do it and it'll work.
If the two of you obviously agree on that disagreement, and if you're asking us to try to settle that, and if, let's assume we hold for you, then this goes back to the General Assembly. There is no statute. And so the time the General Assembly gets it and it gets back up here, there's going to be no road repairs or building going on at all for a period of, without stretching it any, maybe up to 5 years.
Well, practical consequences probably could be extended that far. That's certainly not our intent. We would hope that if this court does in fact affirm the decisions below, that the General Assembly real quickly takes a look at this statute and determines perhaps a blending formula on roads, population, and motor vehicles and says this is the best way that we have to do it. But what this court can say is the way that you're doing it now and the way that has been in the statute since 1925 just doesn't pass muster anymore.
Well, but take your position. When Robin Hood says we are taking it from those who are flush and giving it to those who are poor, in effect, then those who are flush are going to come to us and say, that's not a fair way either. So practically, we're going to be tied up in this whole thing. Why not reserve that to the General Assembly and say, General Assembly, if this is really unfair to some townships, then change it. But not change it ourselves.
As the prompting measure, though, Your Honor, I think this court has to say that this statute is unconstitutional facially and as applied, and then when that occurs, the General Assembly will sit down real quick and decide a matter or method that may be the most fair of all to distribute this money.
But if we do that, then the game is not over. It's just started.
Well, unless there's another injunction that would enjoin the implementation of whatever the new law is,
there would be no statute. You're taking what you want us to do, facially or as applied, either way.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think it makes no difference here. If it's unconstitutional one way, it ends the statute. It's as though the statute never was.
Right.
And so we have no statute for distribution. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
That's exactly right. And with that holding, we would think that because of the hundreds of millions of dollars involved, then the General Assembly would come up with a formula that would work. I still think we come back to the beginning of that statute that was drafted in 1905. and it says that, that it's to be distributed equitably among those persons using the privilege of driving. That's what the statute says.
Let me ask you, you probably didn't argue that it was unconstitutional as applied, because there's no argument. You have no argument with the amount that the municipalities get to you or the way in which it's distributed, municipalities?
Initially, Jeff, we did not. Initially, our focus was on how it was distributed among the townships, counties, municipalities, and the difference of formula. However, after the case was stipulated, tried, and briefed, I believe when we read Judge Kane's opinion, he set aside the allocation and the distribution, which would entail that other 25% that is divided up among the counties and the townships and the municipalities. It's really broader than we had initially focused on.
That's the reason for my question. Yeah. I wonder why he... Why the trial judge, and it was affirmed by the Court of Appeals, the judgment was affirmed, why the trial judge went so far as to declare that part of the statute unconstitutional that affects municipalities when that wasn't an issue, I didn't think. The townships don't get more money if you're only arguing not to the total amount of money that was allocated to the townships, but the way in which it was allocated to each township, aren't you? You don't receive more money if it's unconstitutional.
That's right. The initial focus was how the townships receive their money on a pro rata rather than on a basis such as by the number of motor vehicles. But when you read what Judge Kane said after the case had been stipulated and tried and briefed, he went a little bit beyond that. And he was talking about the allocation, which would be the 10%, 5%, and 9%, saying that that didn't bear a relation to the statutory purpose. Because what does it have to do, why should the cities, for instance, get 10%, is what he was saying, if perhaps the number of roads they have could only entitle them to, say, 3 or 4%. He took a broad view of the statute, and I believe, and I've read that so my eyes water, it appears that he has set aside the allocation of the distribution of the gas tax.
Does that sound like a judicial interference to you with what the general said? I mean, what's the magic percentage? Who's to determine that? We shouldn't determine that, should we?
Probably
a judge?
Shouldn't be. I think if we take, Your Honor, the 75% that goes to the state, the other 25% would be developed upon road miles or population or motor vehicles or some blending of that, regardless of whether the cities ended up with 15% or 5%, forget those percentages. What we do, we look at the statute, and the statute says it's for the privilege of using the roads. That's what it says right in the statute. And you don't need 10, 5, and 5 for that. What you need is the number of road miles that the city has to maintain, the counties and townships, and that's how much money you get. Forget this percentage allocation. I think that's what Judge Kane was saying, and I believe the appellate court affirmed on that basis, so that the case that is before you now is much broader than the appellate started out seeking. We were complaining originally that we should get ours on the number of motor vehicles too. But this has kind of taken on a little bit of a different character, which I don't think was all wrong when you look at it.
I think, Mr. Settner, somebody raised the point that if we're looking at the statute as being unconstitutional at its face, it's a different test, isn't it, than if it's unconstitutional as applied to townships, for example?
Well, like Justice Douglas said, it may be a distinction without a difference. We're talking about the uniformity provision, and the statute has to be uniform in its collection, and it is. It's cent per gallon. That's as uniform as it gets. But when you get the money in the pot and then you start distributing it, that has to be uniform too, and it isn't. And that's the whole problem. It isn't. You can look right at the statute and say, why should I get it on road miles and you get it pro rata or per capita?
What you really wanted then is to get your money the same way as the municipality. Is that correct?
Originally, that was the focus of the case, Your Honor, yes.
And then, under your desire, how does a poor little county like Ellsworth ever get ahead?
A poor little county like Ellsworth probably wouldn't get ahead. They would probably have to hope that the county or the state would build the new roads, if there were to be new roads in Ellsworth Township. The problem is the big counties like Coleraine and Austintown and Gordon, with 40 and 50,000 people and hundreds of roads to maintain, can't do it on the same amount of money that Ellsworth gets.
Well, could it be that the General Assembly heard that very argument, and since this cannot be a perfect system, decided to do it the way they did it?
In 1925, Your Honor, what they drafted at
that
time
may
have been applicable, because townships back then were rural. They were run by trustees that basically were agrarian in nature. Today, townships are bigger than many of the cities in the state. The times have changed. And as the Constitution is a living, breathing document, so are statutes. And there comes time for a change. And this was drafted in 1925. This is 1996. And townships aren't what they were when it was drafted. And what the lower courts have done is said it's time to change it. It's time to at least hone it into what the statute says, and that is equitably for the people that have the privilege of using the roads.
So can a statute, I hear an interesting argument here, can a statute be constitutional when it's adopted because of the conditions it's designed to meet and then become unconstitutional because conditions have changed?
I'd have to say maybe to that, yeah, sure.
Has to be your argument, I guess.
Yeah, I think it has to be, because I think we can all take notice of the fact that townships in the 20s are far different than the Austin Town and Boardman townships and Coleraine townships of the 90s. They were just completely, totally different. Their populations are more than most villages in the state and in some cities in the state. And if there's all this money out here from the gas tax and you're telling the large townships to maintain 133 miles of roads, then doggone it, you got to give them some money to do it. And the only way to do it is to tax those that use the roads. That's what the statute says.
Does the decision of the trial court and the decision of the Court of Appeals give you more than you ask for?
I believe it does, in a way. Although, Your Honor, the complaint, when you read the complaint, of course, it has the catch-all clause and any other relief that may be just and equitable. We did challenge the chapter, but we really honed in on the Section 27 of the statute. I mean, that was the focus of our case. But it wasn't the only thing. We emphasized that. But I believe with Judge Kenyon, he looked at it and says, you know, it might be broader than you guys said. And when he wrote his opinion, he set aside the allocation and distribution of the statute, and that's what the appellate court affirmed. And looking at it, I think they're right.
So the trial court thought it was unfair. The Court of Appeals thought it was really unfair. And you want us to decide whether it's fair, unfair, or really unfair.
Really, really unfair.
Yeah. All of a sudden you like what you got.
That's exactly right. I think what Judge Kane did is right. And I think when you look at these percentages, I mean, why is a city 10.7%? What does it have to do with anything today? Why not make it 3% or 20%? It won't make any sense. And if it doesn't make any sense, if you look at it and say something's wrong, then what you have to do is set it aside and tell the General Assembly what you've got to do is hone it into the statutory purpose for the people that use the roads. You did it with the cities. Why can't you do it with everybody else and say, this other 25% of the money is going to go on a per road mile. We don't care who gets it.
Doesn't adopting that argument have the indicia and the possibility of giving some places more than they need?
Possibly. That possibly could come out, but if it's honed in on road miles and, let's say, the number of motor vehicles, you could get a lot closer to a fair amount than you can just say by pro rata, every county gets the same amount and every township gets the same amount. That doesn't bear any reasonable resemblance to anything. And when this court 17 years ago looked at that Ohio Edison case and how they set their electric rates, I mean, can you imagine if you live in an unincorporated area, you pay 40% more of your electricity than the municipality?
Yeah, but that was an equal protection argument.
Yeah.
And it was also an unreasonable classification decision of the court. This court said that it was unreasonable to classify it that way. And in essence, that's what we're saying here today. 1925, it might have worked. It doesn't work in 1996. Both lower courts recognized it. It's the General Assembly's ball to figure out what is the best form of it. All we're asking this court to say is the way it's written here is unconstitutional. It's not uniformly applied.
The classifications are unreasonable. You've used your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Sutton, you've used your time. I'd take a minute if you want to rebuttal.
Mr. Sutton, we've heard a lot about poor little Ellsworth Township. Where is it? Have you been there? Does it need more than 1 mile of road?
The answer is no to all of those questions, but I would like to go back to something Justice Stratton said, which I think is right on the mark on this issue. Even the blended formula, the closest we can get to perfection in this area, simply doesn't work for a small township with 1 mile of road, presumably a small population. As Justice Stratton noted, in the year they tried to use a need-based formula, Ellsworth got $317. They can maybe collect that for 10, 15 years and build, you know, a cross-country track. I mean, they're going to have a very hard time building a road, repairing a road, much less building new ones. So I think that cuts right to the heart of the matter, and I regret I hadn't made that very point in my brief. The second key point, you don't have to get to this Pandora's box of rationality. There's a simpler answer here. This is a uniformity clause challenge. Plaintiffs pick their medicine. They're stuck with it. These are uniform allocations. In fact, that's the argument they're making. That's the problem. They're too uniform. I think it's going to be very difficult to write an opinion saying the uniformity clause is violated when allocations are too uniform in nature. It just doesn't make common sense. Thirdly, and lastly, the 1929 amendment to this statute, which is what allowed townships to get allocations for the first time in history, indicated that it was to supplement pre-existing revenues for townships. The word supplement, in my view, fits perfectly with the notion of allowing foundation or base allocations to each of these townships.
But let's go back to the uniformity thing for just a second. You say it couldn't get any more uniform. But isn't the distinction that's being argued about here, that's true if the test for uniformity is this is a state legislative allocation of money to townships. That's uniform. Everybody gets the same thing.
Right.
But if this is a state legislative allocation of money for the maintenance and repair of your roads, highways or streets.
I think what you're suggesting is that there may be two ends at which you look at the rational basis. The first end is the top end. Is it appropriate to use the distinctions of the three subdivisions, which is what we talked about initially? That's eminently appropriate. That's constitutional in nature. So it's initially rational to allocate based on the three subdivisions, which in the end are the ones responsible for those roads. If those allocations are then uniform within the township or county, that's the end of the matter. I don't understand why the uniformity clause asks you to look further as to the whether it's need-based, pro-rata-based, or some blended formula. There may be another constitutional provision that says you have to look at it. I don't understand why it's the uniformity clause. This type of scheme fully respects it. In fact, the one they're asking for is the one that's not uniform. Vehicle registration approaches is not uniform. But what you'd normally do in that setting, you should say, okay, this is not uniform, what cities are getting. Now we have to figure out if there's a rational basis for it. And we admit there is. I think need-based, pro-rata-based, blended basis all are rational in nature. And it's something for the give-and-take debate of the legislature, not for the courts. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sutton. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.